The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. Today is an interesting day, an interesting show. Of course, it is the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and what we're going to do today is honor those who died in the 9/11 attacks, and we're going to delve into what was happening at several dental offices during and right after the attacks, including mine. And so what I was doing that day was working on a patient, doing a couple root canals and a couple crowns and a couple buildups, and they were on molars, which are larger, and they have three roots, and they take a little bit longer. And so, unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to just stop what I was doing, like I think some folks were able to do so, to do that. And at the end of the show, we will be talking to several dentists to find out what they were doing during the attacks and after the attacks. And I think that, it was a terrible day. It was a terrible time in history. And we certainly don't want to forget all of the folks that perished that day. And so the beginning of the show, it might seem a little weird because we're basically just going about our day. I'm trying to recreate the day. We did not record this in 2011. We recorded it, 6 months ago. But it mimics what was happening at my office, what I was doing at this time, or rather, yeah, at this time back in 2001. So, sit back and listen, and I think we're going to kind of get a sense of how, everything was just wonderful. Everything was just going on. None of us suspected anything. And before you know it, 9/11.
All right. So, we are getting ready to do a root canal. We're going to do a build-up called a crown build-up, and we're going to do a crown. And we're working on Casey. Right, Casey?
Casey.
Okay. And you thought it would be cool to allow us to record your root canal for other people to know that there's no big deal, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
That's right. You haven't had one yet, have you?
I've never had a root canal, and I've known that there's a big misconception about how bad they are, and if I can prove them wrong, then I'll prove them wrong.
Okay. So your game, and we're gonna give you some tablets to swallow, some oral sedation to make you more relaxed because you're nervous like everybody else.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And then we're also gonna use laughing gas, and you're actually going to leave here with a crown. We're going to do the root canal, the buildup, and the crown because we have that technology that allows us to make your crown while you wait. So it's going to be about a 2 or 3 hour visit, and hopefully you're just going to be kind of snookered and not even care, okay?
All right,
so let me put your chair back and we'll get the laughing gas going. Here we go. Now we've turned off the radio and the TV and stuff. Normally you'd be listening to music or watching TV, but for recording purposes, I think we'll have to go so that we're not competing with, CNN or something. All right. Get the gas bag filled and turn it up. Here we go. So let me just slip this over your nose, and we're gonna let you breathe that for a little bit before we actually start, before we even numb you. Do you have any questions about? Oh, that's right. We can have the TV on with closed captioning. Yeah, so you can still.
I can read it.
You can still read. That's right. Is that the station you'd like?
Or attempt to read it.
Or attempt. Way. Yeah. If your eyes get too foggy, right? What station would you like? Do you want? Oh, wait a minute. Is that the one you want? You want news? You want?
I don't. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Well, we can switch it up during the day if you want. I can even give you the remote. Come to think of it, So you can channel surf. See, if you just point this up to the ceiling, and you can either channel up here, channel up and down, or you can just pick a number. Pick a number from 1 to 1,000 or something. I don't think we have that many, but okay. So let's, like I said, we'll let her breathe that a little bit, and then we will get rolling. Now, Becky, what we're going to do is probably prep that for the crown first, because we can go ahead and scan it and have it milled, and we can interrupt the work we'd be doing on the root canal, you know, to go ahead and try in the crown, and then once we know it fits, the color's good and all that, we can go ahead and have it baked. We'll go stain and glaze it, have it baked while we're doing the root canal, and then when we're done with the root canal, we should have a crown to put on. So, let's see here. Let's pick out a color. Do you already know a color from a previous visit? We probably do, because we did a lot of tooth-colored fillings in the front, right? Was it B2? It was B2? Okay, so that'll be the shade of our milled crown, and we only have size 14 blocks, so we know it's a 14, so if you want to put a Emax B2 in there, yeah. May as well do that while she's sniffing gas. All right, we have a pulse oximeter on your finger, and we're looking at your oxygenation, which is 99%, and your beats per minute, your blood, your heart is beating at a minute ago, it was 90, there we go, 93 per minute, 92, 91, 90, it seems like the more I talk, the slower it goes. No, it's right around 93, so that's good. All right, well, hang tight, and we will be back. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And I just wanted to make a point of indicating that back in 2001, we didn't have the technology to be able to do a crown while you wait. Now we do. We've had it. We've had it for a little over 5 years, I think. It's called CEREC, C-E-R-E-C, and according to Wikipedia, it stands for Chairside Economical Restoration of Aesthetic Ceramics.
All right. So let me maybe turn the gas up a little bit because I'm just about ready to get you numb. Guess there's nothing else to do on a rainy day in Columbus but get a root canal, right?
Yep.
May as well.
I went to work before this.
You did?
Yeah. I worked at 5 in the morning.
You worked until 5 in the morning?
Or at 4. I went at 5.
You went in at 5. Okay. You worked half a day then.
Yeah. I was supposed to work until 12, but I was like, I gotta go.
We will probably be using a mouth prop to help you keep your mouth open wide enough. It's a little piece of plastic that...
I have trouble doing that.
You have trouble doing that?
Keeping my mouth open. Like wide enough to actually... Because I'll doze off and I'll start closing my mouth.
Right. A lot of people find it actually... They actually find it helpful.
I do.
You do? Because at first, when I first got them, I was thinking it would be... People would think it would be like torture. But it really is a convenience. They like it.
I like it because I know that I tend to close my mouth.
Okay. Feel free to keep watching TV, whatever you do, whatever you want. And I'm going to spray this spray in your mouth to numb this tooth. It's pretty far back. I kind of wish people only got cavities on their front teeth. That would be...
It's the sweet tooth back there.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh. That's my sweet tooth. Can't help it when you have a grandma that does nothing but bakes.
Really? Well, I got news for you. Sweet tooth went sour.
Yeah, it went bad. I blame grandma.
All right, here we go. You know how we try to do this as slowly and gently as we can. And so we're going to carefully numb it up there on the side. I use a small needle, as small as you can. And do it really slow. So hopefully you're not even feeling anything.
Mm-mm.
You can't tell I'm doing it? A little bit? Okay, she held up her fingers with a little pinch. A little tiny bit, right?
Yeah, just a little.
Okay. All right. Oh, I can see my reflection in your tongue bar. No, I can't. I'm just teasing. Yeah, it's like one of those carnival mirrors where you look big and fat or something, right? Gonna get plenty up there, but not be in too much of a hurry to do it. Because we want it to be comfortable, but we want it to be, you know, we want this part to be comfortable, but you've got to be numb too. Okay, now always put a little bit on the inside. Yeah, go ahead. Another pinch. Very good. Didn't even flinch. I didn't flinch either. Becky didn't flinch either. No. So we're all good, right? Okay. Okay, and like I said, I'm going to give her a little bit more just to be sure. I always like to err on the side of you're too numb. Is it ever going to stop raining? It's funny because
it's so gloomy.
I have this sprinkling system at home, you know, for the yard, and they came and they turned it on, and I go in out and turned it off. Well, they have to, it's like dewinterizing, you know, but I didn't want this thing coming on, you know. It's got a rain gauge, but they never work.
No.
So it's not supposed to come on if it's been raining in the last however many hours. But it came on, so middle of the night I got up and turned it off, and I've left it off, so I don't know how much rain we got or how much we're expecting, but it's probably about twice as much as we needed, right? I haven't been up to check out the reservoirs. I wonder if they're filled.
I don't know.
Seems like the level of the water in our reservoirs should be pretty good by now.
We have a creek that runs behind our house, and it looks like a lake back there.
You have a creek?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you get in your neck?
Just a small one. It runs behind our property, but it's pretty full.
So it couldn't afford the extra vowel to be called a creek.
Just a creek in your neck.
So it looks like a lake now.
It does. It does.
Hmm. Lake Creek. Okay.
My parents actually have a creek by their house, and it flooded in 89.
Oh, wow.
My mom was pregnant with me when it happened, so they're like all trying to evacuate, and my mom's all big and 9 months pregnant.
You know, it looks like we need the Sirac burr block.
I have it right there.
Oh, it's up there. Never mind. Sorry about that.
I tried to help you out a little
bit. Yeah, you put it where I wouldn't look. Now, what's up with this?
Surprise.
What's up with that little tiny one?
I have no idea.
It looks like it's a shorter than short, so we'll need to get a full-size one for that.
Yeah.
But since it's a crown, and I don't see the little hi-hat burr, so that's not really correct for a Sirac. Somebody left off a burr or two, it looks like. Well, you use it. It's designed to go with the Sirac system. It tells you how much clearance you need. Okay, go ahead.
And then that's all you need then.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Okay. You should be getting pretty numb.
A little. My mouth is definitely numb.
Your mouth is definitely
yeah.
numb.
I remember those shots when I was younger because they'd do the same thing when they'd pull your teeth.
Yeah.
And yours is a lot better.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, that's good.
I did not like that dog. He's the reason they gave me my fear of dentists.
So a childhood dentist gave you your fear of dentists. That happens a lot.
Dr. Tinkler. I remember his name to this day.
What town was it?
It was, huh?
Is he still practicing?
I have no idea
if
he still was. I was super young.
Okay.
Because I wasn't losing my baby teeth fast enough as I was growing in my adult teeth. So I started pulling them all out. And he would, the first time I didn't use the nitrous at all, because I mean, I didn't know what it was. I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't really explain it to me. And a nurse literally had to hold my legs down because I about wanted to kick him in the face. It hurt so bad.
Wow.
And the next time I used the nitrous, and the very last time that I went, we did the nitrous, and then he turned it off, and I noticed he turned it off. I'm like, hey, I can still feel everything, and you're not even remotely close to being done. And he's like, you'll be fine. You're fine. And I'm like, no, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. This really, really hurts.
Really?
You're yanking roots and all out of my face.
Yeah. Not good. I don't know what it is that dentists sometimes don't stop. They don't believe the patient. And, you know, I think there's so many people fearful that that's why they became that way. So I'm trying my best to never be the one that people are telling the stories about 10, 15 years from now. And hopefully the more people realize that there's another way, doesn't have to hurt. So they'll say, well, wait a minute, I heard that you don't have to really feel this stuff. I'm going to go find a dentist that'll do that for me, you know. Okay.
That's what I did.
Dentally speaking, is this talk show, Dr. Kaviko. Let's go!
Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kaviko show to reach your customers by becoming a sponsor? Learn how by calling 262-9588. That's 262-9588.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kaviko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kaviko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr.
Kaviko
& Associates.
I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I do it all again.
All right, and at this very moment, American Airlines Flight 11 is on its way to within 7 seconds of my voice, crashing at roughly 466 miles per hour into the north face of the North Tower of the World Trade Center.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kaviko. What I'm doing now is I am interviewing some dentists who want to find out what they were doing
at the time 9/11 occurred. So I am talking to Dr.
Mark Bronson.
Dr. Mark Bronson. And how long have you been a dentist?
Been a dentist for 20 years.
Okay, so on September 11th, 2001, do you remember what you were doing?
I was in the office. I'm in a group practice with my father, and we actually do have TVs in our operatories, so we actually had on a couple of the morning shows, and I think I was on my second patient and other morning, and it was just pretty much a solemn, you know, time then. You know, we pretty much kind of stopped treatment, and we're just sitting there just watching in amazement of, you know, what was occurring.
Do you remember what you were doing on the patient? Was it something you could stop?
I really don't remember what I was doing on the patient at that time, but I know it wasn't like a complicated procedure or anything like that. It may have just been a filling or something along that line. But we, you know, the whole office just was mesmerized sitting there at the TV.
Yeah, I didn't have the ability to stop. I was working on two molar root canals, two buildups, and two crowns, so I had to work through the whole thing, which was a little bit tricky, but you can't stop, you know? And I also have Dr. Mary something, I don't know, I can't remember her last name. I don't think she wants to give it anyway, but tell me what you were doing.
My name is Tara Hayde. I was actually in my dental residency at Yale New Haven Hospital. And I remember exactly the moment because I was working on a young boy doing some fillings, and we had the radio on in the room just to distract. And when they started announcing it, it almost seemed surreal. And as soon as we were done, finished with the procedure, we canceled the rest of the day because our hospital was supposed to be an overflow emergency hospital from New York to take people that had survived it. But unfortunately, no one, not even one person, needed to come our way. There wasn't needed.
Right, they were expecting a bunch of casualties, and they didn't appear. They all perished, right?
Right, exactly. So it was very sad. It was about around the whole New York, Connecticut, that New England area. It touched everybody. No one spoke. It was very quiet. You went through New York, the streets of New York, and it was like silence and sad. And then for the longest time, when they didn't have airplanes flying overhead, I was there the day the first airplane flew overhead, and a little boy screams, "Mommy, Mommy, airplane," and the mommy grabs the boy and says, "It's okay, it's okay."
I remember that too. It was so strange to look up in the sky and not see those stripes, those white cloud stripes. And I do remember there was a plane that flew over, and we thought something terrible was happening, but I think it was like an Air Force jet or something.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, hey, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, and so now I'm talking to
Mike Kramer.
You're a dentist?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
I have a practice in Cleveland.
Okay. So, Mike, what were you doing when 9/11 occurred, when the first attack happened? Were you working on a patient?
I think I was working on a patient. I was actually doing a residency in Boardman, Ohio, at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. And out in a waiting room where the patients were waiting, there was a TV that people would watch. And, you know, we'd go out and get our next patient. And I walked out, and, you know, there was a building on fire, and everybody's watching. And they said that a plane had flown into one of the towers. And the first thing you would think was that, you know, just some kind of crazy accident. And then I was watching the TV out there in a waiting room when the second plane flew into it. And so that's where I was on that day. And it was one of those things. We just actually, you know, we didn't go home. We didn't do anything. We just kept seeing patients because I guess maybe we just didn't know what else we were supposed to do, you know?
Right.
And I remember walking out into the waiting room one time, you know, after the planes had hit, and somebody talked about one of the towers falling, and I said, no, it didn't fall down, just the plane ran into it. And they said, no, the tower fell down. And that's when you knew it was just, the whole thing escalated to a whole different level.
Yeah, it was for me, I mean, I remember exactly what I was doing, and it's one of those things that's ingrained in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then we just saw our patients that day. I remember most people showing up for their appointments. We didn't have a lot of cancellations or anything like that, and we just continued to work throughout the day. And I remember I went home and just sat in front of the TV into the night and watched everything as it unfolded.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for talking with me.
No problem.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
And now I'm speaking with Dr. Broom.
Yes, I'd just gotten up and came downstairs and turned on the TV, and the news was on, and watched the first tower had already been hit, so you know, just a couple minutes later, we saw the second one get hit, and certainly you knew something was going on then. It was just unbelievable. I'm glad we certainly got Osama, and you know, a good day for America. But you know, it's definitely changed the USA in the past 10 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, now were you a dentist back then?
I just graduated and was basically just getting ready to start a job.
You know? I wondered why you were still getting up at 8:46 in the morning.
Hadn't started yet, just waiting to start, yep.
Okay, and then we have a couple other doctors. Doctor, I'm not going to try to say that, can you say it?
Yoxheimer, Rob Yoxheimer.
What were you doing when 9/11 happened?
We were actually on our honeymoon in Hawaii and heard the news as we were driving along the coast, and just really put a damper on certain things, and just really kind of put an air of a somber moment around everything that was going on. So
yeah, it was really strange. The comedians went off the air. There was nothing funny at that point, was there?
No, there wasn't. So
yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. McKessel.
Mike Sell.
Oh, Mike Sell. Okay. What were you doing at the time?
I was getting ready to go into my class in endodontics that I had started at Ohio State. And I was just sitting there wondering, were we going to have class that day? Or, you know, what was the day going to look like? And were there going to be airplanes that were flying to destroy buildings in Columbus or at Ohio State? And it was pretty amazing time.
So you're an endodontist, meaning you do root canals, and you were training to become a specialist at the time. Did you continue the day?
I am an endodontist.
No, I mean, did you continue to, what happened at your training program? Did they just go home for the day, or what?
No, we went in and had as normal a day as we could have.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
And now I'm speaking with Dr.
Curlow, Matt Curlow.
Dr. Matt Curlow. Okay, Dr. I'm sorry, say that again.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. You practice in Cleveland?
Yes, I work at Metro Health Medical Center, downtown Cleveland.
Okay. And on 9/11, were you working with a patient?
I was at our nursing home called Sunny Acres out in, I guess it would be Warrensville Heights, Ohio. As soon as we got the word that something had happened, we had a group of people watching the TV, and they put the hospital on all systems standby to figure out what we're going to do, if we needed to transport people to hospital or anything like that. So we pretty much stopped seeing the patients, or didn't see our schedule, and kind of got ready in emergency prepared mode at that time.
Did anybody show up?
No. They had a huge meeting in a large conference room at the facility. They said there's a possibility that we may take patients on if something happens close to us, because they didn't know what was going on, whether multiple planes were going to do things. After the second plane hit, they were thinking, oh man, how many more are going to do it? And we put us in just emergency mode.
Now, were you doing a residency?
No, I was a full-time attending, still am. But I didn't have a resident that day. I was by myself out there with the one assistant. We were planning on just seeing patients all day and going up to the floors and doing some training of the staff on how to take care of the nursing home patients and things like that, brush their teeth and do some educational things. But obviously that got blown away when the news came down.
Yeah, literally. Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Sure, not a problem.
All right, so 8:46 and 30 seconds a.m. on September 11th, 2001, essentially changed the world forever. I can't tell you how many times I have wished that we could have just turned back the clock and have that not have happened. It's been a long 10 years. I'm happy to see that the World Trade Center site is at least coming around, and that there seems to be a building coming up that pretty soon we'll be able to look there again and see this towering skyscraper. And we have to keep in our memory and in our hearts all of the folks that perished on that day, and all of our servicemen who continue to give their lives for this fight on terror. Tune in next week, where we will have Ted Williams, Ted the Golden Voice Williams, in the studio with us. Thank you for listening, and see you next Sunday.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.